Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
The weekly shiur in Maaseches Sukkah is sponsored by Yitzweiss CPA, branch out a new direction next tax season. Breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Ligui Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. And the other part of breakfast is sponsored
By Erez.
by Erez, Naftali, Ligui Nishmas,
Avraham
Avram
ben
Ben
Frida,
Frida.
who's your tzaddik today.
Who's your tzaddik state and Shamash and have an aliyah.
Amen.
Okay, we're in Sukkah Daf Mem Dalid, and for the last blot and a half, I would say, since the beginning of the parak, we've been talking about the very meandering analysis of why it is, or I should say, when it is that we do lulav on Shabbos, when we don't do lulav on Shabbos, I mean, when's lulav docha Shabbos, when do we do arava on Shabbos and when not. And we finally come to the conclusion of that discussion, and at least with respect to our Rava, which was the last thing we were talking about, we said that in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, our Rava was Docha Shabbos on this, if it fell out on the seventh day, meaning if the seventh day of Sukkot fell out on Shabbos, you would still do our Ravos in the Beis Hamikdash, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. And now Bizman Hazeh, as we know, we don't ever, Hoshana Rabbah, I think, can't fall out on Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. So we never have an issue of Hoshana Rabbah on Shabbos. Clearly, Arava is not Docha Shabbos Bizman Hazeh. And the reason where the Gemara ended off was Delo Kfiya Lon Bekfiya Diarcha. We're not sure. We're not sure exactly whether we have the moon right. We're based on a calendar rather than seeing the moon, and even in Eretz Yisrael, where they knew when the calendar fell out and everything, they didn't do it after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, up to the areas where they didn't know the calendar. But in any event, clearly, Bizman is that we don't do Aravos on the seventh day, no matter what, if it falls out on Shabbos. That's the end of that discussion. And now we're going to pick up from there on, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7 lines from the top on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, where we say, Amar Le Abaye Le Rabba. So Abaye said to Rabba, Maishna Lulav Davdina Le Shiva Zecher Al Mikdash, Umaishna Arava Duav Dina Le Shiva Zecher Al Mikdash. Right, in the Mishnah we had said that Arava was brought as a separate thing. You'd have the Lulav and Esrog, but then you'd also have the Aravos as a special service in the Beis Hamikdash going around. We'll see what that means exactly. Is it that they would just place the Arava near the Mizbeach, or they would march it around, whatever the ritual was. But that took place every day in the Beis Hamikdash, depending on whether it was Shabbos, maybe not, depending on the year, whether Shabbos fell out on the seventh day. But whatever it was, there was a ritual that took place every day of the 7 days, or virtually every day of the 7 days, in the Beis Hamikdash with respect to our Ravos. That's not true in our practice. In our practice, we bring the Lulav and Esrog, Zecher Ol Mikdash, every day. But we don't do our Ravos. We don't have a Hoshana Rabbah every day. This thing with our Ravos is only one day of the 8 days. So why is that, says Abaye to Rabbah? Why do we do Lulav every day, Zecher Ol Mikdash, but we don't replicate the service of the Arava every day, Zecher Ol Mikdash? So Amrlei, Hoil v'adam yotze yidei chavaso be'arava shibulav. So he answered, Rabbi answered, that it's extraneous because your aravos are included in your lulav, and when you march around with your lulav every day, you're including in that, encompassed in that, is the zecher la'arava shibamikdash, and it's not necessary, therefore, to do some special thing with the aravos every day. So Amrlei, ahu mishim lulavu deka avinlei. He said, that's not a good answer. Your Aravo is part of the Lulav. The Beis Hamikdash had a whole separate ritual involving the Aravos. So again, back to my question, why don't we do a separate ritual for the Aravos each day of Sukkos? V'chitema deka magbalei v'hadar magbalei. And if you want to tell me, well, that's true. The Lulav, the Aguda of the Lulav includes Aravos. And therefore, the first time you pick up the lulav to be yotzei the mitzvah of lulav, you're yotzei it qua lulav. But then if you pick it up again, you kind of have in mind to do it aravos. So he says, if that's the way we commemorate it, that's not a good answer, because if you go to any shul on Sukkos, you see that we don't pick it up separately as a separate kiyum of something zecher la ravos. So he says, what's going on here? Why again do we do this every day of Sukkot, zecher al mikdash, to remember the fact that we had a luv and esrog in the base of mikdash every day of the seven, and we don't do a commemoration of our ravos, zecher al mikdash, to commemorate the fact that we had our ravos every day of the holiday in the base of mikdash? So Amar Rav Zvid, Mishmei de Rava, Lulav Doraisa of Dinan Shiva, Zecher Mikdash. So Lulav, it's fundamentally a mitzvah Doraisa, and therefore it's of a stature, it's of an importance that we're going to remember each of the 7 days, Zecher Mikdash, to commemorate what was done in the base of Mikdash. However, Arava, Drabanan, Arava is only a Drabanan thing to begin with, and therefore Lulav Dinan was Shiva Zecher Mikdash. We don't therefore go out of our way and extend that minug or that mitzvah drabanan so far as to remember it every day, zecher al mikdash. We'll just stick with one day. So luman. So now we're saying this supposition that lulav is doraisa and arava is only drabanan. Who is that going according to? That's not according to everyone. Ilay malaba shaol. If you're saying it's within the sheet of Abba Shaul, Hamar Arbe Nachal Ksiv Shtayim, Achsulov Achas Lamikdash. Abba Shaul actually has a drusha from the pasuk of Arbe Nachal is plural, implying two Aravos, one Arava in the Lulav, and one for the Aravos in the Beis Mikdash. In other words, according to Abba Shaul, the mitzvah of taking Aravos as a separate ritual in the Beis Mikdash is actually a Torah level ritual. So that's not what we're talking about here. Il Rabbanan, and if you want to say it's not Abishol, but it's following the Rabbanan, Hilchasa Gemirila. So even according to the Rabbanan, it's a Doraisa level because they have a tradition that on a Doraisa level, Hachal Moshe Misinai, they have a tradition that you'd bring the Aravos every day in the base of Mikdash. Am Rav Asi, Am Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Nechunya, Ish Bikas Beis Chorten. They have this tradition from that series of Amoraim going up the chain. Eser Netios, Arava, V'nisuch HaMayim, Halacha Moshe Misinai. There are three things that are Halacha Moshe Misinai. Eser Netios is a halacha relating to Shvias. So the halacha with Shvias is that even before the year of Shemitah begins, you're not allowed to do certain trimming and agriculture and plowing and getting the land ready in a field. But there's an exception to that in a field that has a certain number of trees and a certain density that you're allowed to do it in order to keep them going, in order they need their land to be cultivated in a certain way. And so we say that before the formal year of Shemitah starts on Rosh Hashanah, for the 30 days before that, you can cultivate the land relating to these Eser Netios, and that's a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That's one. Arava is among this list, is also a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Now, whenever we say something's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that's on the level, because I understand that to be on the level of Doraisa. So some things are said in Psukim, but in addition to the psukim that explicitly refer to various mitzvos daraisa, there are traditions that Moshe Rabbeinu received on Har Sinai that are referred to as Halacha Moshe Misinai, and those achieve the level of daraisas also. Those are not rabbinic enactments. Those go back all the way to a tradition that Moshe received on Har Sinai. It's clear that our ravos is on that level, is Halacha Moshe Misinai. And finally, Nisuch HaMayim, which the Gemara will get to towards the end of the Masechta, the ritual of bringing water libations on the Mizbeach during Sukkot, that's another Halacha Moshe Misinai. So we see here Arava is included among Halacha Moshe Misinai. According to Abishol, it was a pasuk in the Torah. According to the Rabbanan, it was a Halacha Moshe Misinai. So the Gemara is saying, what are you referring to when you say that the reason why we don't enact Arava all 7 days, Bizman Azeh, Zecher O Mikdash, is because Lulav, whereas Lulav is Doraisa, Arava is only Drabanan. That doesn't seem to be true according to any opinion. Abba Shaul said it's a Pasuk. The Rabbanan said it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. No one seems to hold that Arava is only Midrabanan. Ela, Am Rav Zvid, Mishmei de Rava, Lulav de Islei Iker Men HaTorah Bigvulin, Avdin Le Shiva, Zecher O Mikdash. Arava de lesla ikar minator bigvulin lo avdinan shiva Zecher El Mikdash. So he says, this is now offering a different answer to why we bring Lulav every day, Zecher El Mikdash, and why we don't bring Arava every day, Zecher El Mikdash. We're answering here that Lulav is fundamentally different than Arava. Because even back in the old days, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so Arava was done exclusively in the Mikdash. Right. It wasn't done Bigvu, and it wasn't done outside of the Mikdash. Whereas Lulav, if you look back on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, there was a drasha, a few lines above the middle, where it says, "Diisei min haTorah bigvuin minalan." Titanya ukachtem shteilukicha biyad ko echa viachad. So apparently, so there is a pasuk from which we learn that even that arava is not just brought in the Beis Hamikdash, but it's even brought outside of the Beis Hamikdash. That wasn't just Zecher Ol Mikdash. It wasn't just a later enactment so you could remember what was time of the Beis Hamikdash. Even at the time that the Beis Hamikdash existed, there was a mitzvah for people individually to shake the lulav even outside the Beis Hamikdash. So that was true by lulav, as we just saw in that pasuk. But it wasn't true by arava. Arava, at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, it's true it was either halacha l'mishum Sinai or based on a pasuk, it's on a deraisa level, but it was limited to the Beis Hamikdash. And so the answer now is that the reason we commemorate aravos only one day of the seven, or of the eight, whereas when it comes to lulav, we commemorated all seven, is because arava was fundamentally different than lulav. Lulav was brought not only in the Beis Hamikdash but also outside the Beis Hamikdash. But arava was only brought in the Beis Hamikdash, and that's why arava is only brought one day of the seven. And that's the final answer. That's why. And obviously that reflects our practice. We don't do aravos every day. Okay, Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, Kohat, now, and again, we're focused on the ritual of the Aravos in the Beis HaMikdash. So Amar Reish Lakish, Kohanim Bali Mumin Nichnasin Bein Ha'ulam Ulam Mizbeach Kedei Latzayis Barava. Generally speaking, the Avoda that was done in the Beis HaMikdash that was carried out by the Kohanim was not done by a Kohen Bal Mum. If a Kohen had some kind of blemish, a permanent blemish, that precluded him from doing the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. And yet Reish Lakish said when it came to arava, that was different. Kohanim, even Kohanim in, Kohen in a wheelchair, whatever, the Kohen was a balmum, he is nichnasim bein ulam mizbeach, he walks around the ulam in mizbeach, kedei latzeis barava, in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of arava. So Amr later, Rabbi Yochanan, mi amra. So Rabbi Yochanan said, who said this? Rashi says what the question is, at least the understanding of the Gemara at this point, and the question is, who said that arava is a chov, that it's an absolute obligation? Who said it's an absolute obligation? That's the Gemara's question at this point, mi amra. So the Gemara says, mi amra. What do you mean, Rabbi Yochanan, who said that arava is a chov in the Beis Hamikdash? V'ha'iyu amar d'ramar of Asi, amar of Yochanan, v'ha'iyu amar. You're the one who said this. You're the source for the memra that arava is an absolute obligation. D'amar of Asi, amar of Yochanan. Rav Asi quoted you, Rabbi Yochanan, as saying, Mishum Rav Nechunya Ishpikas Beis Chartan, Eser Netios, arava v'nisach hamayim halacha l'mushum misinai. As we just got finished saying, arava is one of the three halacha l'mushum misinai that you counted. So what do you mean? Who said that arava is a chov in the Beis Hamikdash? You said arava is halacha l'mushum misinai. It's obligatory. So Rabbi Yochanan clarifies his question. Ela mi amra b'netila dilma b'zakifa. What I meant is, I knew arava is an obligation, but what I meant to ask it was, who said that when you do arava in the Beis Hamikdash, the ritual that's done is a marching around the Mizbeach, like we just described, that the Kohen walks between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, implying that it's a march around the Mizbeach. Maybe the ritual of arava simply involves putting an arava and just standing it there, stationary against the Mizbeach. That's number one, he says. Right? Elami Amra Benetila Dilma Bezakiva. Maybe you just stand it up. And furthermore, he says, Mi Amra Beba'ale Mumin Dilma Betmimin. And he says, furthermore, who says that even a Baal Mum should do Aravos? Maybe only a Tamim, maybe someone who's not a Baal Mum should do an Aravos. So he's saying, I'm questioning two elements of this statement that was quoted in the name of Reish Lakish. Number one, that Baalei Mumin do it, even Baalei Mumin do it. And number two, that it's marched around the Mizbeach rather than just being placed there in a stationary way.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And that component of Baalei Mumin is, because obviously for Avodah, they're Asar. But is that the issue in terms of what's the, fundamentally, if we pull back the lens a little bit, is this considered to be a form of Avodah? Is that really, at the end of the day,
right,
the question? Because that's the principle, isn't it? That Avodah, they're forbidden to participate.
Right. I think that might be right, because the Gemara is going to now immediately launch into a new discussion about what is the nature of Arava, mm-hmm, right? We just quoted it as a Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, but, well, I mean, okay, the Gemara is now going to get into, again, and we keep on seeming to address this, there's some kind of tension here in the Gemara between it being just a minhag, as we're about to say more explicitly, and it being a halacha moshe mi-Sinai. If it's a halacha moshe mi-Sinai, then it sounds like the kind of thing that a kohen baal mum shouldn't do.
Right.
Whereas if it's just a rabbinic enactment or a minhag, so then it is. But the Gemara is going to delve into that tension a little more now. And I guess what you're saying might be right, that if it was a formal avoda, like bringing a karban, then clearly a Baal Mum wouldn't do it.
Right.
Whereas here, the fact that it's on some kind of lower level, the fact that a Kohen Baal Mum can do it. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is Habataya. I think it is kind of intrinsic in this question. Although I was just looking before I answer, I just looked in Rashi doesn't seem to tie the two together, at least to what I'm seeing now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. They kind of leave that open, right? They kind of leave it open and then immediately, then they just like abandon it. I don't think they even come back to the question of the Baal Mum. They seem to be saying that a Baal Mum could do it. He questioned who said that, and then they launch into a further explanation of the nature of whether it was a minhag or a mitzvah or a drabbanan. So the answer is it sounds right. It sounds like that might be what it's tied to, but the Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, and I don't think Rashi says it explicitly. Could be the Rishon Do, yeah. Okay, so that's where he leaves it off. So now the Gemara, again, and even within Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, because we're about to see it's Rabbi Yochanan speaking again, is going to delve into, okay, again, what's the nature of this mitzvah of Arava, other than what we just said until now, that it's Halacha Mishmi Sinai. So Itmar Rabbi Yochanan, here again, Rabbi Yochanan, and he was the one who said Halacha Mishmi Sinai, Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chad Amar Arava Yisod Nevi'im, v'Chad Amar Arava Minag Nevi'im. So both of them seem to say that the Arava somehow originated with the Nevi'im, which again cuts against what we said before, that it's Halacha Moshe Sinai. Both of them seem to say that Arava originates with the Nevi'im, but they have a slight difference here. One said that Arava is Yesod Nevi'im, that it's a formal enactment of the Nevi'im. V'chad amar Arava Minag Nevi'im. The other said it was just a practice of the Nevi'im, a Minag, a custom of the Nevi'im. So Rashi points out, what's the nafka mina? What's the difference between whether you say it's a formal enactment of the Nevi'im versus a minag of the Nevi'im? So Rashi says the nafka mina is going to be whether you make a bracha for it. If it's a formal enactment, you make a bracha, because we make brachas on mitzvahs drabanan, on the Tilos Yadayim, near Chanukah, all the time, Mikra Megillah, we make brachas on formal enactments of the rabbis. We don't make brachas on minhagim. We don't make brachas on minhagim. So if it's a formal enactment, says Rashi, you're going to make a bracha when you do the aravos. If it's just a minhag, a custom, then you're not going to make a bracha on the aravos. And the Gemara is now going to try to figure out who said what. Who said which? Tistayim, the Rabbi Yochanan, who the Amar Yisod Nevi'im. Presumably, Rabbi Yochanan said it's the more formal enactment of the Nevi'im. Because we have an explicit statement in the name of Rav Yochanan as saying that Arava is Yesod Nevi'im. It's a formal enactment of Nevi'im, and you would make a bracha on it therefore. Amoy Rav Zerul Rav Yavo, mi Amar Rav Yochanan hachi, did Rav Yochanan really say this? The Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishrom Minchum Ye'ish Pikas, Beis Chorten, the third time we're going to bring the same memra, Eser Netios, Arava, V'nisach HaMayim, L'achom HaShem Sinai. We know, we've already had it twice, that Rav Yochanan holds that Arava is not just a rabbinic enactment, even a strong rabbinic enactment. He says it's Ayahalachom HaShem Sinai. It goes all the way back to Sinai. So what's going on? Why are we attributing to Rav Yochanan this statement that Arava is only a enactment of the Nevi'im? So the Gemara answers, Ishtomim Kishachada. First he paused. He wasn't sure. He was kind of stymied by this question. He didn't have any answer to it. And then after thinking about it, V'yamar, Shichachum V'chazru V'yistum. He says it's true. Rabbi Yochanan does hold that fundamentally Arava is one of the halachos Moshe Sinai's. It goes back all the way to Sinai. It's on that level. It's just that Klal Yisrael, for a certain period of time, forgot the whole mitzvah, and specifically when they went to Bavel, when they were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, they forgot the mitzvah, and it was only later that the rabbis enacted it as a rabbinic enactment. Now, that rabbinic enactment, I guess, was more than just a rabbinic enactment. It was rediscovering a forgotten halacha Moshe Sinai, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said that it's a Yesod Chachamim, that it's based on the Chachamim. It was an old halacha Moshe Sinai. It had been forgotten, and then it was rediscovered by the rabbis. So the Gemara then says, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, could that really be true that Rabbi Yochanan holds that way? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dilchon Amri Dilonhi. Rav Yochanan, we know, held that generally speaking, things weren't forgotten when the Jews went to Bavel. And this memra of Rav Yochanan, Duluchon Amri Dulon He, Rashi and Tosos both explain, or Tosos does a slightly different explanation, but Rashi explains it's referring to a Gemara in Baba Kama, where there was an early Amora named Rav Kahana. Right, Rashi, if you look in the bottom, Rashi, Rav Kahana, Rav was one of the earliest Amoraim, right? Rav Tanu Palig is the first generation of Amoraim. So Rav Kahana was his Talmud. He was extremely bright, extremely learned, and extremely incisive. Ubarach Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Bavel, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. So he was of the people who lived in Bavel. He went to Eretz Yisrael with Rabbi Yochanan. He came before Rabbi Yochanan. Machmas Marden. The reason he ran from Bavel is because he was accused of killing someone and he was wanted and he had to leave. He had to quickly flee the country. But in any event, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and it's the Gemara in Baba Kama says that Rabbi Yochanan relied on him to answer a bunch of questions. And when Rabbi Yochanan saw how bright and how learned and how steeped in tradition, how much Rav Kahana knew about halacha, about what was going on, Rabbi Yochanan confirmed based on that that it can't be that the people, he says, I originally thought that the people in Eretz Yisrael knew more because we were always based here. We never were exiled. But once he saw Rav Kahana's erudition, he saw his wisdom, his scholarship, he said, it can't be that the people in Bavel are on any lower level. And the Gemara derives from there that Rabbi Yochanan must have held that the people in Bavel never really, there was never a loss of any of the tradition. There was never a shichacha. They never forgot anything. The people in Bavel knew halacha just as much as the people in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is using that to question what we just said. That Rabbi Yochanan says shichachum v'chazrum v'yistum, that Arava was known as the halacha Moshe Sinai. With the exile to Bavel, they forgot it, and then Yisod Chachamim, they reenacted it. We're saying now, how could that be? Rabbi Yochanan is known as the person who held that the people who went to Bavel didn't lose anything in the tradition because he saw how wise and how learned Rav Kahana was.
When we say the mitzvah of Arava, what do we refer to? The last part,
the Hoshana Rabba, yeah.
The we hit the floor with?
Well, it's not clear. Even here, we're not sure whether they would actually just lean it against the Mizbeach or they would march around the Mizbeach. Mm-hmm. But on Ahmed Bey's, we're going to talk about the hitting part, so I'm not sure exactly which part, but it's the whole ritual. Mm-hmm. It's whether you lean it against the Mizbeach. I guess it's referring fundamentally to us marching around with the Aravos, similar to the way they would, at least according to one opinion, they would do it in the Beis Hamikdash. Mm-hmm. But we'll see part of it, an intrinsic part of it is going to be hitting it, because we're going to talk about hitting it on Amud Beis. Fine. But in any event, we're questioning, how could Rav Yochanan have said that it was Ayachon Lashem Yisinai, they forgot it with the gulls of Bavel, and then the Chazal reinstated it. We just said that Rav Yochanan didn't hold that they lost anything in the tradition when they went to Bavel. So we're going to answer Lo Kasha, Kan B'mikdash, Kan B'gvuin. So we're going to walk back what we just said, and we're going to explain that when we say that Arava was the Halacha Moshe Sinai, that's talking about in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, it was Halacha Moshe Sinai. There was never any loss of that transmission. That was always the Minag, the Halacha Moshe Sinai. They would do it in the Mikdash. What is a Yesod Nevi'im, the Gezeira Drabanan, the new enactment of the Nevi'im, that's to do it even outside of the Beis Mikdash, like we do it here in Shul. That's the Yesod Nevi'im. That's, which is, you know, kind of a simple answer. You would have thought they would have gone with that first.
Just for clarification, is that the answer Knesset Gdolah you're referring to?
I think Yesod Nevi'im, Rashi says, Takanas Nevi'im Achronim, Chagai Zachariah Malachi.
It would be our part of the answer Knesset.
Which would probably, which is the same time anyway, yeah, they overlapped, right. But Rashi says specifically, this is a takan of Nevi'im Achronim, Chagai Zachariah Malachi, Shahil Mimitsakne Takanas Yisrael Banchik Knesset Gdolah. There you go. So it's that's what Rashi says. Okay. Good. Baruch Shakivanta. That's good. Okay. While we're on that, this Tosfos was here on the right, on the Amud Beis, as we flip the page. As Rashi pointed out, the nafgamina apparently between a Yesod Nevi'im and a Minag Nevi'im is whether you make a bracha. If it's a formal takana, you make a bracha. You don't make a bracha on a minag. What's the... So Tosfos says, V'yesh medaktik em mitoch kach delo mevarchina nahalel d'rosh chodesh she'enu el a minag be'alma. So the Gemara Megillah in Tainus tells us that the halel that we say on Rosh Chodesh is not a formal enactment of the rabbis. It's just a minag. And so Tosfos says that on that basis... And on the basis of what our Gemara is saying, we don't make a bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh. We know that clearly that's not our practice. Svarim don't. Okay. I think when we went to Rav Schechter doesn't make a bracha maybe on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh. Don't quote me on that. I thought I heard that. Or maybe the Rav. I think it was Rav Schechter. Whatever. So there are some people that have the minhag of not making a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh because it's just a minhag. And then Tosfos kind of runs through an analysis of this. Rabbeinu Tam says you do say it for Hallel, and then they try to figure out what about the second day of Yontif, right? The second day of Yontif is also Minag of Hoseinu Biyadeinu. The only reason why we have a 2-day Yontif nowadays, now that we know when Rosh Chodesh is where the Gemara in Beitza on Daf Dalid says Minag of Hoseinu Biyadeinu. The only reason we have now is, so if it's a Minag, you shouldn't say a bracha of Shechianu, and you shouldn't say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim on the second day of Yontif. So Tosfos answers, well, no, that's not true. The only time you don't say a bracha on a minag is where the bracha would entail the word Vitzivanu, right? So, for example, Hallel, it says Vitzivanu l'kroes Hallel. Hashem commanded us to say Hallel. You don't make that bracha, arguably, because there's no commandment to say Hallel. You don't make a bracha on Arava because if it's just minag Nevi'im, because there's no commandment to bring the Aravos. Whereas on the second day of Yontif, there's no Vitzivanu that you'd be making. The bracha is just the Birkas HaShevach, Makadish Yisrael V'Azmanim, or Shechianu V'Kimanu V'Gyanu Azman Hazeh. So since there's no bracha that would entail the word Vitzivanu, that doesn't run afoul of this rule, and therefore, even though it's just a minhag, we still make a bracha on the second day of Yontif, again, because we're not called upon to say Vitzivanu. On Hallel, yeah, Hallel you do. So Tosfos says the reason why you make a bracha, Rabbeinu Tam says the reason you make a bracha on Hallel, he says, Inoel tilt, Dein Raya Me'arava Hallel, Darava Inoel tiltul, V'kevin Dorav Takanti, El Minhago Chashiv, Mikvah Bracha. About Kriyas Hallel, lo gara mikore batora. If you're reading Psukim from Tehillim and you're singing Hallel, so you could always say Vitzivanu Lekroes Hallel, because you're always allowed to say Shavach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's not so terrible to say Vitzivanu Lekroes Hallel. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says.
We should remind you of the whole controversy over Yom HaSukkot maybe isn't such a big deal.
Which is not such a big deal, right? What's the, right, exactly. Say just, yeah, that's right. So that's how Rabbeinu Tam says, even if you say, even as we do say, that the second day of Yontif Sheni Shegolios Zoi Minag, so no big deal to say Hallel. No big deal to say the Brach on Hallel. No big deal to say the Brach on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, even though it's only a Minag. And as far as saying Mikadosh Tov Azmanim and Shechianu, it doesn't say Vitzivanu, so that's no big deal. You're not saying that we were commanded to celebrate the second day of Yontif, and that's why you say Bracha on the second day of Yontif, according to... then he runs into a problem. What about Bracha of Shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Right, that's not going to... Vitzivanu, Vishmoa Kol Shofar. So then that's where he really gets into some problems. So he answers, right, he says, Shem Tov Misha Goyos Ein Bam Vitzivanu El Kiddush L'Azkar Hashem B'Tfilo Berichas HaMazon V'Mishum Devarchina Atkiyas Shofar B'Yom Tov Shein Rosh Hashanah Hano Takanta Ninu V'Chamiri B'Beiz Yom Tov Misha Goyos. He says the Takana of the second day of Rosh Chodesh, of Rosh Hashanah, is a little more chamor than the minhag of the Gemara Beitzah says minhag of Aseinu B'Yadeinu with respect to the second day of a regular Yontif. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, that was actually a takana drabanan because of the problem with the Levim that were late to say Shira and they said the wrong Shira. So that was actually a formal takana drabanan. So there, that's a stronger level than the second day of a regular Yontif, and that's why there it's not a problem to say Asher Kedushanu Misosav Zvanu Al Tiki Lishmon Kol Shofar. Anyway, but Tosos kind of works through this in various iterations, various situations, how you deal with making a bracha, even if it might be only be a minhag. Okay, fine. New topic. Amar of Ami. Arava Tzricha Shir. So now we're talking about Arava, this Arava in the Beis Hamikdash, where nowadays Zecher HaMikdash, it requires a shir. The Arava has to be a certain size. V'yanani telas ela bifnei atzma. Furthermore, it has to be held alone. You can't carry it with the gul of an esrog, right? The whole idea is you're carrying the arava alone. Vein adam yosei yudei chavaso be'arava shebulav, and relatedly, we'll see, we'll parse these two statements out in a second, you can't be yosei the mitzvah of arava by just holding up your lulav, and your arava is included in the lulav. So the Gemara immediately says, kevan damar mar einani telas ela bifnei atzma, once we already say it has to be carried alone, so pshita dein adam yosei be'arava shebulav. So obviously, you can't be yosei with the arava shebulav. We just said that. What are you adding by saying that you can't carry it, that you can't be yosei the mitzvah of arava with the arava in the lulav? So the Gemara answers, ma'u detei mahani mili heichadua agbaha v'hadar agba. You might have thought that when we said you can't be yosei with the arava shebulav, we meant to say just that you can't be yosei with one lifting of the arava and lulav together, and think that that encompasses the mitzvah of lulav and the mitzvah of arava. Aval agbe v'hadar agbe, but if you pick it up a second time with the intent of being yotzei the mitzvah of arava, maybe that should suffice. So imalo, maybe that's not included in the prohibition, in the limitation here. Kamash mulan, no, that doesn't work. You have to hold it not just with the intent of picking it up for the arava, but it actually has to be only the arava in your hand. It doesn't work if you also have the lulav in your hand. Two separate requirements. For Rav Chista, and then finally we just round this out. For Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchak, Adam Yotze Yudei Chavaso Barava Shabulav. There's a dissenting opinion that says no. If you pick up your lulav a second time with the intent of being Yotze the mitzvah Rava, that will work. You could be Yotze the mitzvah Rava in that way. Now we said before that it has to have a shear, v'kamav shira. What's the shear of the arava? Amar of Nachman, gimel badei alin lachin. You need three wet leaves. Wet meaning they're not dried out. Three viable leaves. Rav Sheshes Amar, afigu ala echad ubad echad. He says even one stalk and one bad, one little piece of a leaf. So the Gemara is, it says, Allah echad ubad echad salkadaitach. That seems very flimsy, very, it's nothing. You have like just a bare stick and then one leaf separate. Like, what are you talking about here? So, Ela ima afil, Allah echad bibad echad. You know, it means you have what, that one stick with that one leaf, well, at least one leaf attached. It's not that you could have a separate stick and a separate leaf separated. It's got to have a stick with at least a leaf. And that's the shear. That's it. That's the end of that. Amr Aibu. So Aibu said, Rashi points out, Aibu was the father of Rav. We just mentioned Rav, first generation Amora, very end of the Tanaim, beginning of the Moraim. So Aibu was his father. I guess that means that Aibu was a Tana, right? So Amr Aibu, Hava ka'imna kamed Rav Lazar bar Tzadok. I was in the presence of Rav Lazar bar Tzadok. Va'aisiyahu gavra arava kameh. And a guy came holding an arava. Shakil chavit chavit. And he did the nanuim, Rashi says. He shook the arava. V'lo barach. And he didn't make a bracha on the arava. Kasavar minag nevi'im hu. He must have held that it was a minag, and they're not any Yesod Nevi'im. It was just a minag, and that's why you don't make a bracha. Fine, that's what we do, right? We don't make a bracha on the Arava. Aivu v'chizkia b'nei barsei derav. So this is Aivu and Chizkia, who were the sons of the daughter of Rav, meaning the grandsons of Rav. So this was Aivu's namesake, was Rav's father. This was Aivu three generations later, right? He was probably named after his great-grandfather. So, Aibu and Chizkia, the grandsons of Rav, Aisu Aravel Kameh de Rav, Chavid Chavid V'lo Barach. They brought an Arava in front of Rav, they shook it, and they didn't make a bracha. Again, Kasavar Minag Nevi'im Hu, like we do, they assumed, they held that this was a Minag and not a Yesod, and that's why you don't make a bracha. Amar Aibu. I think Rashi points out this is the, not Rashi, I think this is the original Aibu, this is the older Aibu. Yeah, we know that because who he was with. Hava ka'imna kameh de Rav Elazar bar Tzadok. I was in front of, I was in the presence of Rav Elazar bar Tzadok. That was, remember, the first Aibu we said also was in the presence of Rav Elazar bar Tzadok. So this was that original Aibu, the father of Rav. I was in the presence of Rav Elazar bar Tzadok. Aso kameh u gavra. And a guy came to Rav Elazar bar Tzadok, Amrlei, and he said to him, on a completely different topic, Karyasa Isli, I have a village of workers. He was a rich guy. He owned a whole like little housing development with some workers there. Karmaya Isli, I have a vineyard where those workers presumably work. Zesa Isli, and I own the olive trees in that vineyard. The Asu b'nei Karyasa, and the people who live in the village come, umekashkishin b'karmaya, and they work the land. They kind of soften the land. They, you know, that's a part of the farming work. The ochlin b'zeisaya, and they eat the olives during the Shemitah year. They eat the olives. Now, during Shemitah, how does it work? It's all hefker. Anyone could come and eat any of the olives. But you're not allowed to use it as payment. You can't use it in commerce because it says le'achol v'lo l'schora. So you're not allowed to use these olives to pay the workers. So here he says, I didn't actually pay them with the olives, but they come, they do the work, and then on their way home, they take some olives and eat them. So he says, arich o lo arich. Is that okay? Is that appropriate or not appropriate? So the Mefarshim here talk, Rashi doesn't get into this, but the Mefarshim talk about the fact that min hadin, mikar hadin, this is perfectly permissible, because the only problem is to actually overtly pay them with the Shemitah produce. But if it happens to be your workers grab some produce on the way out because it's hefker, that's okay, that's not a problem. But in any event, he asked Aibu, or I guess he asked Rav Elazar bar Tzadok, if this was okay. So Amar Lei Lo Arach, he says it's not okay, it's not appropriate. And again, Mi'ikar Adina might be appropriate, but he was saying it's not great practice. You should really not let your workers take the right. Rashi says L'fisha Ata Porea Pulasa Miperos Shvius Vatora Omra L'Ochla V'Lo Eschora Aval Kishkush Mutar Kedol Kaman. The problem is not the fact that they were doing the work. which might have also been a problem because you're not allowed to work the land during Shavuos, but we'll get into that. The problem here, he was saying, is that you're paying them or you're allowing them to take payment from these hefker peros, from the olives. Fine. Hava kashavik lei ve'azil. So he immediately ran home, presumably to stop them from taking the olives as payment. Amar, and so Rav Azar Bar Tzadok said, Havisi Dairi Ba'ara Hada Memshanin. I've been living in this land, in this neighborhood for 40 years. V'lochamiti Bar Inish Mahalich Ba'archin De Takanan Kedin. And I've never seen such a good guy. I've never seen a guy who acted so quickly on a psak, who ran back and stopped them from doing that. Hadar Vasi. In the meantime, he came back, this guy, the Shoel. V'omerle, my Mevid. So he came back and he said, what should I do? Like, what's a better way for me to handle the situation? Amrle, afker zesaya l'chashuche. Instead of having your workers take these zesim as payment, invite aniyim to come and take the zesim because they're hefker. V'sein pritel kashkushe kramim. And instead, pay some coins to your workers. Don't have your workers take the olives. That's not appropriate, even if it's okay, Mikra Adin. It's not appropriate for them to be paid from Peros Shvias. Rather, let Aniyam take the Peros Shvias and instead pay coins to the workers. So the Gemara now says, Vikashkushi Mishari. We've been talking about the payment, but was the fundamental work they were doing, plowing the field, not really plowing, but like getting the ground ready underneath these trees, was that okay to loosen the dirt? Vatanya vashvius tishamtena v'nitashta tishmatena milakashkesh v'nitashta milasakel. So one of the things that you're not allowed to do during Shvius is kishkush, is softening the ground under the trees. So how were they allowed to do that altogether? Amravuk v'abrachama tre kishkush lehavu. There are two categories of softening the land. Chad stumi pili v'chad avriye ilni. One is where, as Rashi says, stume pila, where the roots are megulin, the roots are visible, they're like above ground roots, and you have to cover them up in order that they not dry out. If they were to dry out, that would be bad for the tree. So this is preemptive action to stop something bad from happening. You need to do it to preserve the trees. So you could do work on Shvius in order to stop bad things from happening, to kind of preserve it. You're just not allowed to make the things better. So that was okay. Avriye ilni aser. Stumi pili shari. But avriye ilni is to kind of really work the ground to make it better and to make it better for the trees. That's what's aser. But to do something that just preserved the status quo and made the trees flourish without getting having a problem, without drying out, that's okay. Fine. Amar Aibu Mishum Rav Elazar Bar Tzadok Al Yahalich. Once we're talking about Aibu, we brought up, bringing out a third member from him. Al Yahalich Adam Ba'arve Shabbosos Yoser Migimol Parsos. You shouldn't go on Erev Shabbos. You shouldn't start a trip more than three parsos. So the way the Rishonim understand this is three parsos is it would take you about a third of the day to travel. So let's say from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. you're going to be traveling. You shouldn't travel more than that amount of time in the morning, Friday morning, because you should arrive at your destination by Friday morning with plenty of time to prepare for Shabbos. Amar of Kana, well, Amrin Elul Beise. That's only true if you're going to your own house, because as Rashi points out, if you arrive too late to your own house and the people in your house didn't expect you to be coming for Shabbos, there'd be all sorts of pandemonium. People will be all worried that there's not enough time to prepare. It's going to cause fighting in the house. So make sure you get home, or at least nowadays, I guess you could call and tell them you're coming so that they have time to prepare. Make sure you get home by, a third of the day in, by like 10 a.m. or so. Avalu shpize, I did not get samech. But if you're actually a guest in someone else's house, this is a little counterintuitive. If you're a guest somewhere else, you're carrying your own foods, as Rashi says. So therefore, you can even show up late there. That's not such a problem. No one's going to be thrown off by the fact that you're showing up closer to Shabbos because you're carrying your own food. Vika d'Amri, there's another version of this. Amar of Kana lo nitzrucha lo afilu lo beise. That in fact, it applies both ways. That your own house, where the stuff is yours, maybe there's not enough to eat, and therefore you have to arrive in time so that you don't cause pandemonium by coming too late. And coming to a host's house also, maybe there's not food altogether, and if you come too late, you're going to cause pandemonium. This one's a little more intuitive. And so therefore you should come to anywhere you go, you should show up on time, not show up too late on Friday, so that there's time to prepare the food. Amar of Kahana bididi hava uvda vafiu kisei daharsina lo ashkeche. He says, this happened to me, and there was no food, and I couldn't even eat a little bit, and I was in trouble. That was right, not a great Shabbos for him. That's not a great Shabbos for him. Okay, I'm looking now. I actually prepared to these two dots, but it makes more sense to go to the Mishnah. Let's see if we can figure it out quickly. Mitzvah Luav Ketzad. How do you do the mitzvah of Luav? This is presumably quoting from the Mishnah. And we say, Tani Tana Kamei. Let me just see what the Mishnah said. Mrs. Luav Ketzad. On the first day, it was the first day of the Shabbos. Good, okay. So, Tani Tana Kamei Rav Nachman. Sojourn Al Gag Ha'itztava. What does that mean? Have a Tani Tana Kamei Al Gag Ha'itztava. Oh, that's where he said this memra. Amrlei. V'chi Liavshan Hu Tzarech. Barayovish puzzle might not be able to do this. Who anyone want to say is Liavshin Utsarch Elam Al Gaba Itztva. Barayovish was right. Aluv Yavish is puzzle. We know that's a problem. Aluv has to be fresh. It can't be all dried out. So Tana Kamei Rav Nachman Sojourn Al Gaba Itztva. You can leave it on the. I guess you don't want to carry it, so you're going to leave it, as the Mishnah said. They would leave it in the Beis HaMikdash on the Itztava, on the like platform there. So,
Gag is like on top.
On top.
Itztava, I think it's like a shelf.
A shelf, right. Yeah. So, Sojourn Al Gag Ha'itztava. Amrlei v'chi liavshin utzarech. That's going to be bad, right? If you leave it on the roof, it's going to get all dried out. The sun's going to shine. It's going to get all dried out. So he's saying almost sarcastically, what, we need to dry it out? What's going on here? Ela al gava itztava. Not on the roof of it, but on the shelf, indoors. Amar Rachva, Amar, who is it? Rebbe Yehuda. Har habayis stav kafu haya stav lifnim mistav. When this is describing how the benches were set up, right? That the shelves were set up in a way that it was kind of like a, Rashi says it's the bos makifos osov, it's the bos achirim hekef lufnim mehekef. It was kind of rows of benches or rows of shelves where they were able to place their lulavim, and that's how it all worked out.
Okay. I want to say Kaddish. We're just waiting for Yosef to come back, maybe.
Okay.
David, you want to stick around for a minute?
I will. Let me know who this is that's saying this. Earlier we had Ibu, which is a very common name, but there are two.
Right.
We're teaching a series of stamens of Rav Kahana. It's something that one is relevant.
And it refers to it makes it clear in the text the
waiting for Yosef to come back.
Yeah. Does it do that every time you mention someone? And then also here at the end we have
There's a Gersa problem here. One Gersa had it Rav Yehuda, right? That's in parentheses, and then on the side they say Tzarech Lomar Rebbe Yehuda. There was Rav Yehuda and Rebbe Yehuda. Those were the other. I mean, there are other Rav Yehudas, but they have like Rav Yehuda been Tema, and there are others that they have other. Is the main Rabbi Yehuda is a Rabbi Yehuda and Amora, and Rabbi Yehuda is a Tana, right? There are other Rabbi Yehudas. Yeah.
And then the same thing with people by Ibu. Usually when it mentions.
We're asking like when we encounter a new character, does the Gemara always tell us who it is?
And we know who it is. Is it typically identified? identify which of the multiple names?
Not necessarily, no.